Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Proverbs, the 16th verse, the 16th chapter. To get wisdom is better than gold. To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. Amen. Today is our second Sunday in a sermon series we're calling Better Than, and I hope that your today is better than your yesterday. I hope that God is going to bless you in ways better than you could have ever imagined. What we've been doing is we've been looking at scriptures that have the words better in it, and we're looking at the better way that God has for us to live. What we're doing is we're memorizing those scriptures, applying them, and then being able to say, how can we live this way? So first of all, let me do a recap of what we did last week. How many of you remember? It was from Psalms 84, verse 10, and Psalms 84, verse 10 says this, better is one day in the courts of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, we can do better than that. Let's do this. Better is one day in the courts of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And what we talked about is what are our benefits of being in the presence of the Lord? What do we gain? We talked about peace. And this week, we're going to talk about wisdom. We're going to look at some advice from King Solomon. And here's an interesting fact. You might not have known this, but King Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That guy had no free time, all right? He constantly had someone saying, I want you to go mow the lawn, okay? Go do the dishes, or how do I look in this dress, right? Today we're talking about wisdom, and I love what Karen said. Wisdom isn't just about how smart you are or about how much knowledge you've acquired. Wisdom is about making decisions. Wisdom is about what? Making decisions. You see, you can know a whole lot of things, but never decide to act upon them, and they're just knowledge that's sitting up in your brain. Actually, that might even be a definition of foolishness, to know the right thing to do, but then to do the opposite instead, is what foolishness is. So here's what I want to say. I want to say we make decisions, but our decisions also make us. We make decisions, but our decisions also make us. You are who you are today because of some of the decisions that were made yesterday. And you'll be who you will be tomorrow because of some of the decisions that we're making today. Our decisions are so important. And at the very beginning, we talked about some of the decisions that have to be made. And so I'm going to ask if Pastor Jennifer would come forward and bring some of those decisions to us so that we can talk about some of them. And as she's doing that, I want to ask you in this message today, not just to hear this as some kind of generic message, but think specifically about the decisions that you've got to make in your life and how this might apply to them. Thank you. So I'm not going to read them all, but let me just see some. I have a sick old cat whose medical bills are costing a lot. And so the question is about what to do with that. Whether or not I should move. Wow, okay. What to do about a housing situation. Several work-related decisions. Someone has to decide how to balance. What work projects am I going to accept or decline? Someone's deciding when they're going to retire. Someone's making a decision about forgiveness and transition in life. Someone is making a decision to move closer to their daughter. Someone's making a decision about when to work at the fish fry. The whole time, someone's making a decision about a move to Wisconsin. And someone's making a decision about whether they should bake Pastor Joe a cheesecake or a strawberry cheesecake. The answer is yes. The answer is yes on that. Yeah. There are a lot of decisions that people are going through today. And I hope, I didn't actually read them all because there were so many of them. But I hope that we're going to apply what we're talking about today to the actual decisions that we're facing in our life. So God appears to King Solomon, and God says, King Solomon, guess what? Anything you want, you name it, you ask for it, and I will give it to you. Now, wouldn't it be cool if God were just to call your name? Tomiko, anything you want. Brett, anything you want. Jermaine, anything you want. You name it. What would be some of the things that we would ask for? Now, the kids always got this right. If I had one wish to ask for anything, little kids would say, I'd ask for more wishes, right? Some of us would say, well, I'd ask for a long life, or I'd ask for health, or I'd ask for money, or God, give me power. God, give me a godly spouse. God, heal my person who in my life who's sick, or God, give me kids. Just imagine you could ask for anything. Well, God asks Solomon, what do you wish for? And Solomon's reply is, God, give me what? Wisdom. And God is so moved by that. God's word says, you could have asked for money or for power or for fame. You could have asked for victory. You could have asked for a long life. But since you asked for wisdom, I will do what? Give you wisdom and all the other things as well. And Solomon would go on to write this in Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver? Let's read it together. How much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver? One more time. How much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver? Okay, let's blank that screen and let's see if we can do it together. How much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver? Anybody remember where it comes from? Proverbs 16:16. All right, let's put that back up. King Solomon was saying something pretty radical here because gold was a standard by which if you had gold, you could get these things. You could get power. You could get all this stuff. And instead, Solomon is saying, I would rather have wisdom because wisdom is even better. Well, talking about wisdom, a wisdom comes in all shapes and sizes, and I'm going to ask if Eli Bolton would come forward and help me with a part of this sermon. So would you welcome Eli with me as he comes forward to help me? I'm going to interview Eli about his experience with wisdom. So, Eli, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. So, how long have you been at this church, Eli?
About 14 years.
Woo, about 14 years. All right. How old are you?
14.
Okay. Well, we're glad to have you. We're glad to have you with us. So, you've got an experience with wisdom, and tell us how it began. What happened to you at the beginning?
So, this past school year, school was one of my lower priorities. I was more focused on video games, sports, things like that. And my grades started to, you know, get worse and worse. And I had warnings, like, from my teachers. Like, they were telling me, you know, your grades are, like, they're not doing as well as they usually are. And my brother, he also told me that, like, the same thing happened to him, that, like, his grades started to go down. But I kind of ignored the warnings, and eventually it got to the point where I was failing almost all of my classes, and eventually my mom, she found out.
Ooh.
So, yeah, and she has a pretty cruel form of punishment.
Cruel.
What is her form of punishment that's cruel?
She would make us write Proverbs.
Yeah. Like what verse?
The whole thing.
The whole thing. The whole thing. Not like all of chapter 16?
No, the whole book.
Okay, the whole book of Proverbs. All right. So how did you find out that that was going to happen?
Well, I came home from school once, like, report cards had come out and all of that. And I went to my room to, like, grab my phone, like, grab my iPad, you know, play some games. But all of that stuff was gone.
Mm.
So I went downstairs to ask my mom, like, what was going on, like, where my stuff was. And on the table was a Bible, a notebook, and a pencil. So.
And did you know at that moment?
I knew. Yeah.
Cool. So how long did it take you to write Proverbs?
I didn't finish the entire thing because she had a little bit of mercy on me, but it took about like 4 months.
4 months.
Like, wow. I would try to like get in at least like 2 or 3 chapters a day, but my hands would always cramp up, so I couldn't really finish it.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. What is the lesson that you learned from this experience and from the book of Proverbs?
That you don't always need to experience things to learn from them. Because there were people around me telling me, like, from their experience, like, you need to apply yourself in order to succeed. But I kind of ignored the warnings and things like that.
Okay, good. And so after this process happened, how did your grades turn out the next semester?
They improved a lot. I was passing all of my classes.
So. All right. So it wasn't cruel. It was effective punishment, right?
Yeah, it was effective. Looking back at it, it really helped me to kind of step up. So.
So are you going to do that to your child when you have children and they mess up?
I mean, it works, so.
All right, maybe so. So after writing the entire book of Proverbs, do you have a favorite verse from Proverbs?
No.
No? When it comes to reading the Bible, he just skips right over that Proverbs. Well, thank you so much for your time. Thank you. Thank you so much. Wisdom comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes. And I just have to point out, we've got Dale Ernst and Dan Gates. And they are the other spectrum of wisdom. Some of our older members, Eli representing some of our youth. There's a lot of wisdom and experience right over there. So let's just thank God for the blessing that God has granted to us. So I was talking with my son Zachary earlier this week. And we were talking about money. And I said to Zachary what my father said to me and what his father probably said to him. And here's what it was. If I knew then what I know now, right? I said that. If I knew then what I know now, I would be a millionaire by now, Zachary, right? Anybody ever said that? Anybody? Okay. Most of us have said that. Here's a question. But is it true? Probably not. Because it's not just a matter of knowledge. It's not just a matter of smarts. It's not just a matter of education. It's application. It's making the decision. My father said, tithe 10%, save 20%, live off the remaining 70%. I knew it back then. Guess what? I just didn't always make the decision to do it. And then what happens is a lot of people begin to think the same way in their other aspects of life. Well, in your relationships, pray together, communicate, spend time together. We know those things, but we don't always do them. It happens in our spiritual life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path, right? We know this, but we don't always choose to do this. And then when we don't do it, we begin to think like those folks who said, if I knew then what I knew now, well, then that would make all the decision. But guess what? Since I didn't, I'm just going to keep going on. I'm not picking on anybody, but you know people who say to you, don't smoke. You shouldn't smoke because this and that. Well, in their mind, they're thinking it's too late for me right now, right? or the person who's got a messed up back or relationship, whatever it is, don't do what I did then, but they're not willing to make the change themselves now. But I think the better thing to say is this: I didn't know then what I now know, so I'll start today. That's wisdom. Wisdom isn't just knowing or looking back and say, well, I missed my opportunity. Wisdom is saying, I'm going to make a decision today. So how do we begin to make these right decisions? Especially, I mean, I'm trying to keep in mind these things that you're having to decide about, right? I want to give you three suggestions. And the first one is this. This might seem strange. Fear God. Can you say that with me? Fear God. Proverbs 9:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom. And what do I mean when I say fear God? Do I mean that we walk around and we say, oh my gosh, is God here? Is God in this room? Does God hate me? Is God going to get me? Is God going to strike me down? Is God in a good or a bad mood today? You know, in the Old Testament, fear of the Lord was like having a deep reverence for the Lord. It was to have a deep respect for the Lord. It was to be holy awe of God. And here's what I think. I think that a lot of times when it comes time for us to make a decision, we are afraid of what other people might think. Well, like Jesse in the situation, well, if I wear this shirt, what might people think about me? You know, well, maybe I'm not going to make that decision. Or if I make this decision, what if I fail? What if I start to do something and I fail? What would other people think about me? What I think we should do is when we get ready to make a decision, what we should have is a deep reverence for the Lord and a holy fear of the awe of God. My daughter, Rebecca, is 21. She's about to turn 22 this month. I don't know how that's possible. But I went up to go and help her move last month. And I go up and I go to give her a hug. And I say to her, Becca, what is that? She had something right here in her nose. Right here, she had a little nose ring. Now, if you got a little nose ring here, I'm not picking on you. I'm talking about my daughter, Rebecca. She lives in my house, you know. I'm talking about my daughter. I'm not talking about you. So Rebecca's got this nose ring thing. And I'm messing with her. I'm thinking, what is this, Becca? And she's, leave me alone, you know, this and that, nothing. But I tell her what I think about it, and it does not faze her one bit. She could care less what Daddy thinks about her, right? But then I went and told her grandmother. You know where this is going, right? I called and told her grandmother, and her grandmother got on the phone with her, and Becca called me back up. Why did you tell grandmother? Why did you tell grandmother? She could care less that Daddy knew, but she didn't want grandmother to know. And the question is, why? Why didn't she want her grandmother to know, but she didn't care if her daddy knew? It was because Becca has a righteous fear of her grandmother. Now, can I tell you something? If you know my grandmother, right? My grandmother is just like Beverly Jones, right? Just as sweet, as nice. She has never raised her voice at my daughter. She's never raised a hand to my daughter. And yet my daughter has a righteous fear of her grandmother. She's not afraid of her, that she won't love her anymore. She's going to disinherit her or any of those things. But the fear is she does not want to disappoint her grandmother. She would go to all lengths not to disappoint her grandmother. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's a righteous a fear, a respect, and a reverence for who her grandmother is. Now, here's what I think. I think that some of us are just too comfortable with God. I'm going to say that again because I know that just doesn't sound right. But I think sometimes we get just a little too familiar with God. We talk about, oh, you know, me and the man upstairs, we're cool. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's all right. I was baptized when I was 8. I'm cool. I can do whatever I want, you know. I let God do his thing. God lets me do my thing. We're cool. Guess what? If God would appear before us right now, we would not be fist bumping God. We wouldn't be high-fiving, slapping, bumping hips with God. Do you know where we would be? You know where you would be. I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about all of us. All of us would be laid out right here. Laid out. I mean,
I would not be looking up. I would be laid out.
I would not be thinking, what do other people think about me? I would not be thinking about, am I going to fail? Am I going to succeed? Do I look foolish? I would be laid out in the presence of God. And I would do whatever it took to respect and to appreciate and to reverence God. I wouldn't be thinking about what someone else is thinking. I would be thinking about, how can I do whatever God asked me to do? God asked me to run to downtown. Do you think I'd be saying, God, I can't do that? If God was right in your presence and told you to do it, guess what you do? You would do it. Elaine, are you with me? You would do what God said because you have a holy reverence. And even if you don't have it right now, you will have it in his presence. What does the Bible say? In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to happen. So the question is this, is that when we're in his presence and we're prostrate before him, that is the beginning of wisdom. When we have a deep respect for making choices that will glorify God and not try to impress somebody else. So that's point number one. Don't get a nose ring. Fear God. Here's point number two. Ask God for wisdom. Can you say that with me? Ask God for wisdom. If you want it, you can have it. It's not like God is saying, okay, here I am, I'm handing out wisdom, I'll give some wisdom to you, I'll give some wisdom to you, you, but no, not to you. No. Here's what it says in James 1:5. If any of you lack what? Let him do what? Ask God who gives how? Generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, there are some people that have mental challenges. Some are born with them, some through accidents have different problems and challenges, and they might not be able to learn in the same way as others. But again, we said from the beginning, it's not just about smarts, it's not just about education, it's about decision making. I read an article written by a mother of a child with Down syndromes, and it's called Lessons I Learned from Jack. Jack is her son with Down syndrome. Here's what she said. Jack called almost everything his favorite. Every shirt was his favorite piece of clothing. Every meal was his favorite meal. Every kid was his favorite friend. And from Jack, she learned to appreciate and love the things that you've got. Here's another thing that she learned. One day a stranger noticed Jack's disability and rudely came up to his mother and said, "What's he got? What's wrong with him?" Jack's mom was shocked to be so rudely approached, but Jack took it in stride. He spoke up and he said, "There's nothing wrong with me. I'm okay." Jack's mother writes, "I learned to accept and to love myself, just like Jack has learned to love himself." There are a lot of people with PhDs, educated, smart people who don't appreciate the things that they've got, and they don't even love themselves. There are, I'll tell you what happened. I wasn't planning on saying this, but I used to be a chaplain here in Lawrence, and I will remember one of the very first calls that I got was off of just north of 56th Street. There's a very wealthy neighborhood, and someone was building a multi-million-dollar home down there and committed suicide in the basement. And I can remember it shook me that I'm thinking, he's got this money, he's got this land, he's got this great job, he's got all of these things that, you know, the world would say is great. If you've got this, then you're fine, then you're set. And I'm thinking, why would he do that? Now, here I am. I've already been to seminary. I already know that money doesn't buy everything. And yet, even if we say that, in our minds, we kind of believe that. We kind of think, if I just had enough money, if I just had a good job, if I just had these things, trappings of the world, then my world would be perfect. Is that true? No. What did the rapper say? More money, more problems, right? Sometimes what we fail to realize is that the trappings of the world tells you, you get this stuff, you'll feel better, everything will be great. You get it and you don't feel better, and then it makes things worse. You fall down deeper. What's wrong with me? And so the challenge I just want you to hear is that better than gold is wisdom, making the decisions that will honor and glorify God. So along with asking the questions, or asking God and saying, God, grant me this wisdom that you are so generous to give. The Bible says this, we have not because we ask not. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be open to you. And along with that, asking God for wisdom, also a part of it is seeking God's direction. God, what do you want me to do? Not just help me to have wisdom to weigh the pros and the cons about the situation, but what do you want me to do? Because you know what? Sometimes we could, in our own sense, line up all the things that are make this so great. And the one thing that doesn't make it great is God wants me to do something else. God's calling me to something else. You have 15 things that say, do this for these reasons here, and one that says, no, God's calling me not to do this, which is a smart way to go. Go God's way. Trust in what God says. Here's the last thing that I want to say. How can we make right decisions today? If you want to be wise, hang out with what? Wise people. If you want to be wise, hang out with wise people. Surround yourself with people that are making the right choices. Proverbs 13:20 says this, he who walks with the wise grows, but a companion of fools does what? Suffers harm. My mom used to ask me this question. I'm sure your folks asked you the same question. If everybody jumped off the bridge, would you jump off a bridge too? Right? As a little kid, you know what you're saying? No. But think about it. In reality, if everybody else that you're hanging with jumped off that bridge, 9 times out of 10, you know what you do? You jump right off that bridge as well too. I recently saw an article about this. 60 kids went in and vandalized and stole from a Walgreens in Philadelphia in broad daylight. With the surveillance cameras running, they ran in, stole stuff, grabbed stuff off the counter, and threw it at the employees and injured somebody. 60 kids. Someone said, out of 60 kids, not one person had any sense? I'm sure someone had some sense, but guess what? When you're hanging with everybody else who's doing it, all of a sudden you say, I'm going to put my common sense behind me right now, and I'm just going to follow whatever the fools in front of me do. And it's not just young people. It's older people as well. In the news, you can't help but see about the billionaire who's gotten into trouble because of sexually abusing young kids. They're looking at all the friends, all the people that are around them, who hangs with them, who's been on the planes. And you know, it's not just about hanging with people that look like they've got it all together, but what are the decisions that are being made by the people that you are surrounding your lives with? Someone told me this, show me your friends and I will show you who you are. You are the average of your 10 closest friends. You are the average income of your 10 closest friends. You are the average attitude of your 10 closest friends. So surround yourself with wise people. Look for people who love to serve God. Look for people who are generous. Look for people who want to make a difference in this world. Look for people who love and respect their spouses. I'm going to tell you what, if you hang around with people who are constantly belittling their spouses and, oh, this and that, and yeah, blah, 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 you should leave, guess what? You'll start thinking, yeah, they're no good. I should leave them. Well, guess what? Then you'll be miserable just like them. We get into situations where we allow people to influence us that are not wise themselves. How do we get wisdom? We get wisdom by fearing God, having a holy respect, by asking God, and by surrounding ourselves with wise people. King Solomon was a wise man. Here's an interesting fact. You might not know this, but he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Wait a minute. That meant he had 1,000 mother-in-laws. Maybe that wasn't the smartest choice that he ever made. But can I tell you the smartest choice that you will ever make? It's not investing in gold. It's not going to college. It's saying yes to God. God has said yes to you. God says, I love you. I've created you. I know all about you, the good and the bad. And I say yes. Not only do I say yes, but I'm willing to give for you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The smartest decision that we could ever make is to decide to say yes to the one who has said yes to us. Will you pray with me? Mighty God, we thank you for this day. I thank you for Eli and for his willingness to share. I thank you for what he's learned, and I thank you for the wisdom that's around our youth. Dear Lord, I pray right now for the decisions that have to be made. I pray not just for the comfort or the convenience that people would go the easy route, but dear Lord, I pray that you would right now speak to their hearts. We're asking you, dear Lord, give us direction in which way that you would have us go. Dear Lord, right now, I pray for those that might be here today who've never asked you into their hearts, who've never said yes back to you. Dear Lord, I pray right now that you would open their minds to see your love for them. Dear Lord, help us not to be afraid of you, but to have a reverence and a respect that is greater than what we have for the opinion of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.